Diamond Play of the Week, presented by Robbins Brothers, the engagement ring store.
They run it up the middle. Fournette, extra effort. And did he get there? No! Fournette is stopped.
This Diamond Play of the Week is presented by Robbins Brothers, the engagement ring store, West Loop South and Clear Lake.
What a play.
I thought the Diamond Play of the Week might be, maybe Josh Reddick's fifth hit. Okay.
What? Oh, you think it should be the Diamond Play of the Week, yet you didn't mention until the second
Because I was waiting
show.
For you. I didn't want to spoil the Diamond Play of the Week.
Yeah, because we really had a conversation about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was the Diamond Play of the Week.
If you missed it because you were depressed about, you know, your Texans, the Astros sweep the Royals.
So they are now tied for the best record in the league with the Yankees. Okay.
I can't. Why didn't you mention this one? How did you miss this tweet about?
I'm
sorry, Astros. I didn't mean to disrespect you.
You are disrespectful.
But Lamont just said, thank God Dell is the producer, not Bill O'Brien managing time to get you guys out of your breaks on time. I was kind of at times I can be the Bill O'Brien of getting out of breaks on time.
No, that all seems to be self. Astros 98-53 now. Just this week they were two games behind the Yankees, and the Yankees were playing like Baltimore or somebody again. I mean, they were just playing crap team. And how are you? Oh, Detroit. And you're like, well, it looks like the Yankees are. No, there's 11 games left, and they're tied for the best record in the league. But the question, I mean, first of all, congratulations to Wade Miley. He actually lasted more than a third of an inning. And he went six for the first time in over a month, in about 5 weeks. That's the first time in 5 weeks that he's gone six innings. So that's good. That's really, really good. Now, some of that's on AJ, because when Wade Miley gets in trouble, he's going to go out and get him. He's not going to go get Greinke. He's not going to go get Cole. He's not going to get Verlander. But he's going to go get Wade Miley and Urquidy or whoever.
But what happened? Like, what happened for two straight games?
I don't know,
games?
Are we sure that it's solved? I mean, it was the Kansas City Royals that he was pitching against. He's not facing the Royals in the postseason. So, hopefully...
No, but I want that
arm professional too. They're professionals, too. We got to give them... You know what? Okay. So the there's 11 games left. They have... And I honestly think this is arguable. Right now, it's Oakland and Tampa, with Cleveland a couple games back in the wild card. And it's Minnesota, and they've got a stranglehold on first place. So, whoever has the best record is going to face the wild card, Oakland or Tampa. And whoever has the second best record is going to face Minnesota. Are we sure that you want the best record?
No, we're not.
Yes.
The better matchup is, I mean, yes, you do want home field. Clearly, better matchup for the Astros is to take on Minnesota. And granted, they can bomb it away.
Thanks to Pineda having steroids or whatever he did. Thanks to that. I mean, that helps. But Minnesota's taking care of business against the Astros too this year.
And Minnesota can bomb. And let's face it, the one way you get a hold of Verlander is at home runs. I still believe that having home field advantage, just like against the Yankees, that's still the most important thing.
I do too.
But with that said, it doesn't change the fact that you look at the A's and you look at Tampa, and it's a challenge. I mean, the AL's got some good playoff teams. I don't think there's a bunch of layups.
I don't think there's any layups. And, oh, by the way, hopefully, I think that, you know, for the first time, the Dodgers are going to have their hands full with the Braves. The Braves are a good baseball team, a really good baseball team. But I don't know. I just kind of feel like you want the Twins, I guess. I still believe if you go into Tampa, you're going to take care of that. You take care of Tampa's business. That lineup is not going to beat you in the postseason. There is absolutely no way they're going to beat you. That lineup's going to beat you. Oakland is scarier.
And I don't think Tampa beats Oakland. And Oakland is scarier. Of course.
Tampa has better frontline starter, the one guy. I mean, you're counting on Mike Fiers in your one wild card game.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
that's why everyone likes over the course of Look, in one game that the Astros can be beaten, I know how it's looked recently against Oakland, but over the course of a series, I still like the Astros a lot. I think most people do.
Yeah, no, I think most everybody. Well, it's Astros or Yankees. I don't think that there's any question.
Hey, congratulations, by the way.
To me?
Go out to you. Yeah, shout out to you. Art says, may I be the first in congratulating JG on the love of his life, Mason Rudolph, getting his shot in Pittsburgh.
Hashtag how about that?
Proud dad. Hashtag Oklahoma State John.
Yeah, well, and he looked pretty good doing it, too. He's a prototypical quarterback now. I mean, I don't understand the lack of love for this dude. He's going to be pretty good. And maybe this is a Tom Brady situation. Bye, Ben. Okay.
A Tom Brady situation.
Yeah.
I don't know that.
Maybe Mason Rudolph comes in.
I don't know that.
Takes over. Go sit down, Ben. Okay?
I think Ben's days are clearly numbered. You don't have a ton of threats now, and when Ben's hurting his arm just throwing a football and it hurts, that's not great. That's not great. This could be it for Ben. This could be his career. If he gets surgery on his elbow, Ben could shut it down after.
Well, maybe. Yeah. He's got enough money. He doesn't need to do all this.
Could be the end of the little Steeler run.
Losing at home. I think it is
the end
of the...
They got smashed by New England. They lose at home to a West Coast team traveling east.
I got the Steelers finishing last in the division.
I think the Steelers, yeah.
I mean, Baltimore looks pretty fleeping good.
You got a playmaker with Lamar Jackson, and then you got a defense. They're always the same. There's a level of consistency there that is so admirable. You just are a consistent squad in Baltimore. They're not the most exciting team, but look what they did. They pulled Joe Flacco, the steaming pile of mediocrity, out. And Lamar Jackson's going to have his ups and downs, but he makes plays. Like, he's still going to make a splashy play.
Well, we were talking about no big plays for the Texans. That's all that dude is doing.
Yeah. And if you – well, that's a home run strikeout mentality of you'd rather – hey, at least the guy hits home runs. Even when Deshaun's got to be the home run hitter too. Now, if he's going to strike out on some things, he's got to hit home runs. Lamar Jackson's going to make some mistakes, and he'll be inconsistent with – you know, with accuracy at times, but he makes so many big plays. You know, he's the first quarterback to start a season. I got to see this. I got it from NFL's research department. Sunday's best. Here you go. Lamar Jackson had 100 more rushing yards than the Cardinals in the Ravens week two win. 120. He had 120 to 20. He had 100 more rushing yards than the entire team. This is the sixth time in Jackson's career that he's had more rushing yards than the opposing team. The Ravens are 6-0 in those games. Jackson's the first quarterback in Super Bowl era with 30-plus fantasy points in both week one and week two.
I'm so pissed.
Pat Mahomes has thrown for 3 touchdown passes or more in 7 straight games dating back to 2018. His streak of 7 straight games is the longest in NFL history, surpassing Tom Brady.
How was Lamar Jackson looked at coming into his draft process as a thrower?
As a running back.
Receiver, possibly?
Receiver.
So does his ascendance, even though it's been 2 games, help Jalen Hurts?
Here's all I'm going to say. I think every prospect is every prospect. So I think Jalen Hurts does will help Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, and I think Baker, and I think that Kyler... And you know what? And Mariota now. I mean, I think all those guys are helping.
But is Jalen Mariota a better thrower now than Jackson was senior year?
I've got to see, because there's different things that go into throwing. Here's what I said on strengths. Elite playmaker with rare ability to hit home runs with arms or legs. Has experience under center. Arm is lively and can spin it. Delivery devoid of wasted motion. Ball comes out with a flick of the wrist reminiscent of Mike Vick. Can drive it with velocity. Pocket poise and pre-snap plan has improved each year. Has improved ability to hold safeties and linebackers with his eyes. Feathery deep ball touch. Requirement of full-time spy lightens coverage numbers. Willing to take sack over making haphazard throw. Maestro of improv. Scrambling force destroys pursuit angles when he runs. I'm trying to get off of the run stuff. So that's – I actually – now, I said must learn weaknesses – slightly built for punishing hits, must learn to slide, throws with excessively narrow base and stiff front side. But those are things you can work on. Like, those are coachable issues. Makes targets work too hard, sails throws that can end up in the hands of safety, at times hesitates to challenge safeties in the seam, low release point leads to tip passes. A lot of these things are areas, like, I always felt like he could be a solid passer with a chance to have I just said evaluating Jackson by NFL standards for the position will cause him to come up short. However, he has rare speed and athleticism and can single-handedly win games. His accuracy is clearly spotty, and teams must decide the level of accuracy they're willing to live with relative to his ability to create explosive plays. Jackson may need to operate in an offense ready to integrate RPOs. Like Deshaun Watson in 17, Jackson has the ability to counter mental mistakes and turnovers with a high number of explosive touchdown-making plays. He has star potential, but his success will rest heavily on his ability to stay healthy.
Well, when we come back, I'm going to read A Tale of Two Cities. Okay?
See, I was thinking War and Peace.
War and Peace would be?
Yeah.
What about War and Sharp?
No, not
War and Sharp. It's War and Sharp. So, if we're going to just start reading things, I think.
No, you have to read things you wrote. So, you have to go back and
I have to read something
sports.
I wrote? Oh, no, my last sports
map
article.
I don't know
article.
Why you yeah. think.
Like 2 years ago.
But what do you think? Like, I don't see a similarity between the talents of Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts. I can go find you somebody else for Jalen Hurts. And I do think he's showing, like, I think this offense helps him. I think some throwing stuff.
Mike Vick is a good.
But what about Cam?
Not for Jalen.
What about Cam?
For Lamar.
Yeah.
For Lamar.
What about a smaller Cam Newton for Jalen Hurts?
Might be. I have to think about it.
Well, but he's shiftier. Cam is a bull.
In college, Cam was a little shiftier.
Yeah, I guess. I guess.
He's really slowed down.
No, yeah.
You remember the run against
LSU. By the way, okay, when we come back, we're going to get Derek and Candy in here, but we got to get is that a Candy?
I didn't answer.
That appears to be a girl, unless Candy it's John Candy.
Candy Kane.
Who's dead, but we'll see who that is. But 812 ESPN 97.5. We got a lot to talk about here, so don't you go anywhere. I want to talk right now about the Skeeters, the defending champion Sugar Land Skeeters, back this week for their final homestand of the season with games from Tuesday through Sunday. Tuesday's first pitch is 7:05. Wednesday is Dollar Dog Wednesday, Dollar Hot Dogs. Everybody loves Dollar Dog, okay? And that's a night game. Thursday is Bark in the Park. Bring your furry friends to Constellation Field. $2 beers and soda as well while you have your dog there. Skeeters playoffs are Tuesday, September 24th, and Wednesday, September 25th. Tickets on sale now. Only $10 for field box seats, $19 all-you-can-eat tickets. Are you kidding me? Post-game fireworks show after the Tuesday game. So go to SugarlandSkeeters.com. Great way to entertain clients, different groups like churches, organizations, little league teams, schools, birthday parties, all of it. It's a lot of fun. The park can't be better. It's great family fun, and it's affordable. $19 all you can eat? Are you kidding me? Go to SugarlandSkeeters.com. Get on out to the ballpark, SugarlandSkeeters.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
817 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. The number to call. Candy, ladies always go to the front of the line, even if they want to talk about the Cowboys, right? Even if they talk about the Cowboys? Hey, Candy, how are you?
Hi, my name is... I'm doing wonderful, thanks. I work in a medical center and dance on the weekends. How far would the Cowboys go, and why do the Texans and their fans suck?
We usually would let that slide.
That's got to be an Eric girl.
It's an Eric, yeah.
That's an Eric thing right there. You know,
that's right. It's been a long time. Yeah.
Well, we called Eric out last week for being boring.
You're not really a dancer, Candy.
Candy, she hung up. She hung up.
Didn't she?
No. She's not
you there.
She's not talking anymore.
No, I think she hung up. I heard her hang up. Candy, to answer your questions, the Cowboys blow. And I can't wait for the precipitous fall because you think y'all think you're so, so good.
How did you beat Washington?
And you're going to suck at the end of the year.
How did you beat Washington? That is hard.
No, not so much.
I will say this.
Dallas doesn't play Washington because they are easy. They play them because they are hard.
Well,
no, they play because they're in the same division.
Yeah, oh, that's
right. They
play
them twice every year. Because they have to.
So, Candy and Eric, suck it.
Well, I mean, didn't you retweet the whole that thing that's going around where Lance might have done it, where Kellen Moore became the Cowboys assistant?
He reads
OC
Scott Linehan's.
Yeah, because Kellen Moore used to be a Cowboys backup coach.
You can see he literally throws a playbook on the ground
because Kellen Moore decided to become the OC for the Cowboys because he saw he was going through the Linehan playbook.
I will say this, man, that offensive line, holy crap, he does have all day.
So. I was in, you know, our buddy Michael, Pete's Fine Meat's a big Cowboy fan.
Yeah.
And everyone who works in there is a big Cowboy fan. So I was picking up have you ever heard of the picañas? Have you ever heard of a cut of meat called a picaña?
No.
Well, so it's part of, like, you have tri-tip is on one area, and right below it is the picaña. And I got a picaña. It was fantastic. Cooking the picaña, I guess it's something that the Argentinians...
Sounds like it's
a lot. It was really, really good. Shout out to the picaña because Michael just seasoned it and all that. But we were talking about the Cowboys, and I told him, I said, I hate to say it, but you guys are in for a pretty good season this year, I think, because, A, Jalen Smith obviously is back to full speed. They have two good linebackers. They've got a rush with Taco Charlton was coming on, but more importantly, Kellen Moore is an offensive coordinator. I can't stress enough how important that is because that's a guy who understands the quarterback position because he was a weak arm, pop gun arm quarterback with a great mind, and he knows what it means to put the quarterback he sees the game schematically in Dak's eyes.
Right.
Did he ever play there while Dak was there? Was he a backup? I think it's always been Cooper Rush. I think it's always been Cooper Rush. But I can just tell you, I thought that was a great addition. Kellen Moore, that guy is going to be really good for Dak, and it at least showed off the last two
games.
How
old is he?
He's 30 years old.
He's going to have a job next year as head coach. He'll have a head job next
Kellen
year.
Kellen Moore was a backup quarterback from 15 to 17, so he was there when Dak was there.
Yeah, he was there.
Now, that speaks to the kind of conversation you guys were having during the break about because Lance gave us some news about the Texans kind of like Pat Mahomes, and if Pat Mahomes hadn't come off the board, they might have taken him. And, John, you responded with, Pat Mahomes wouldn't be Pat Mahomes here.
No, he wouldn't be.
See, I disagree.
I don't.
He wouldn't be 50 touchdowns, Pat Mahomes, but I think Pat Mahomes, and this is coming from somebody who was not a Pat Mahomes truther, that guy does things that I don't care who you are as a coach. I mean, he really does have some Favre and some Rodgers in him with the throws he makes, the way he can fit it in there. He's fearless, and he reacts. He responds quick. I just think Pat Mahomes is going to be a really good quarterback anywhere he goes. Andy Reid has just weaponized him, too. I mean, Andy Reid makes you.
Yeah.
How good would Alex Smith have been here?
Well, I don't know. Jared Goff was a pretty good quarterback. How was he under Jeff Fisher? I mean,
yeah, but
I believe
that's not
coaching
fair.
Makes a huge difference, and I just don't. Bill O'Brien is.
He's a rookie with no
Bill
Cooper
O'Brien
Cup.
Will choke off. Bill O'Brien, if he coached Michael Jordan, Jordan would average 14 a game.
Wait. You made the comparison of Bill O'Brien, and I get it. This is the popular thing because no one likes Bill O'Brien. And so, everyone, if this were a debate, if we were at a Democratic debate and you said that, everyone would cheer furiously. But the fact is, Deshaun Watson has had some very explosive games under Bill O'Brien.
And zero top 10 finishes in offense. Zero.
No, I get that, but, you know, Deshaun was gone.
Yeah.
He has not had
Was
the
Deshaun
best.
There last year? I'm
last
pretty
year
sure was
his first full-time
pretty
with
Pretty sure he was there
Deshaun.
Last year.
And the worst offense you've ever – the worst offensive line that we've seen.
Yeah, okay. I just know that if Bill O'Brien is coaching you, you ain't going to finish in the top 10.
I can just tell
How
you
How was
this.
That offense yesterday? How'd that work out? 169 yards. Do you think – Okay, would Pat Mahomes have thrown for 169 yards under Bill O'Brien?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Way more.
Well, there you go. No, 169
Way
yards.
Way more.
Pat Mahomes would have had a 169-yard game.
Dude, I mean, let's be real. Pat Mahomes is better than Deshaun Watson. Come on. Pat Mahomes is better than everybody in football right now.
Oh, my God.
Am I the guy with 50 touchdowns?
I can't believe
Is this up for debate?
That.
He literally set an NFL record with seven straight three-plus touchdowns. Am I saying something strange?
I can't believe Pat,
I don't know.
Said that.
I know y'all are going to have a hard time with this one, too, but LeBron James is really good at basketball these years.
Would Pat Mahomes have won an MVP?
Giannis is a good player. He's going to win MVP.
Would Pat Mahomes have won an MVP under Bill O'Brien?
No. No, maybe, he would not maybe. Have. No, he would not have.
Maybe.
He would not have had 50 touchdown passes. He would not have thrown the ball all
okay,
over the...
Okay, let me ask you this. How would Bill O'Brien's offense look with the Chiefs' offensive line, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, what they've had, and Pat Mahomes? Why don't we just flip personnel?
Run on first down. Okay.
With Kareem Hunt when he
second
had him?
Second and nine.
No, they throw a lot.
Okay, the throw Texans a four-yard pass.
No, the Texans aren't like, no, it's Pat Mahomes. You ain't throwing four-yard passes. That's Deshaun.
Oh, well, no. That's what they do. That's what Bill O'Brien
had. They were
why are we looking down the field?
Four and five wide yesterday for after. They're not just run on first down.
How about all those passes? Well, how many 20-plus yard passes did he have?
People are going to conflate.
How many 20-plus yard passes did he have with four wides?
They had well, wait a minute. When you get zero blitz, you're not going to.
How many? What?
Yeah, you're going to get it out quick.
Oh, no. I was told by your father, it doesn't take much to throw the ball down the field. How about use some timing? How about if you catch the ball, it doesn't take Wolf Fuller long to get down the field. And by the way, they did hit Wolf Fuller.
When there's a free runner in the A-gap. Yeah, he did throw that. When there's a free runner in the A-gap, it's hard.
They only had two dog sacks yesterday. Two. Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you mean? He had time to throw down the field.
I don't understand why you think Bill O'Brien has a joystick and is literally controlling Deshaun Watson like Deshaun Watson. Let's not pay. Then don't pay Deshaun Watson. Then get the right head coach and get any quarterback. No. Because clearly quarterbacking doesn't matter.
Again.
Well, I mean, you're acting like.
Do you want to get fired?
You sound like Manny with Daryl. Why did Daryl Morey not defend better? You're acting like a quarterback doesn't do anything.
No. Oh, but, okay, wait a minute. Again.
Pat Mahomes does stuff.
Let's go back to Jared Goff. Jeff Fisher,
this is the most unfair thing. You're saying Jared Goff with a rookie season, first year out of, by the way, Pat Mahomes didn't play his rookie season out of the air raid.
No.
Jared Goff did with no Andrew Whitworth, no Cooper Kupp, okay, no Brandon Cooks, no Robert Woods.
So you're telling me that if Jeff Fisher was still there, Jared Goff and this offense would be the same.
No, I think it's a bad
example. No, you know why? But the coach has schemed and made them a good offense where Jared Goff is a better player.
And it's not mutually exclusive. And they added a crap load of talent.
And guess what the Texans
have? A crap load. The Texans don't have a crap load of talent.
The hell they don't. The hell they don't. Kenny, are you kidding me? They have enough weapon. Wolf Fuller on one side. They've got a running game. They've got everything to be successful.
Did you like their offense against the Saints?
Yes.
Then don't freak out over one game against the Jaguars. This game sucked.
No.
Deshaun has some stinkers sometimes. That happens. But I have confidence that Deshaun Watson and the offense, I just don't think Bill O'Brien is Jeff Fisher was a lousy coach as it came to offenses. I've seen Deshaun be explosive.
Well, Jeff Fisher was a defensive coach. Secondly, Bill O'Brien is an offensive coach who doesn't finish in the top 10. He just doesn't.
Do you think they will this year?
I'm hoping.
I do.
Listen, and if they don't,
I think he is going to take that
with
away.
With these weapons and this, and what they've got, and if Deshaun in his third year, then do you know what? This is on O'Brien.
But I didn't think Bill O'Brien should have been extended. Bill O'Brien, to me, should have played out his last year, and then you figure it out.
You want to get fired.
I didn't want Deshaun. I didn't want Bill O'Brien extended.
He doesn't work for the Texans. Bill O'Brien can't call. Well, maybe he can't.
Oh, you really? Oh, really?
Can he call here and get Lance fired?
You chase anything bad about Bill O'Brien, guess what's going to happen?
He can get people fired who don't
even
work for him.
Now, there is a belief that somebody at the flagship station got fired last week for negative commentary about the Texans. It's a guy that I'd never heard of. Some guy who does night times or something like that. But that little thing made it out there that somebody was a little... Who is the comrade in the evening who continues to say bad things about Texans? We must put him in gulag.
24 hours of great Texans. 9 till midnight.
A win is a win! No one cries about winning football.
The Texas custom patios, nobody cries when they got a patio, do they?
No, I watched. I was watching Everton Bournemouth.
Gosh.
Yesterday, and I went back in.
You should.
After it went 3-1, I was like, "Screw this patio." wasn't really the patio. It was the game so much. The patio was great. Patio was fantastic. I got the fans in there on high. Wasn't too super bad in the evening. And, you know, this is the great thing. I'm going to get a kitchen added to my patio. I didn't do it the first time, but now that I've spent the time in the patio and enjoyed myself and I recognize I've got a grill out there that I have to roll out. Instead of rolling my grill out to the, you know, out past the patio, I'm just going to have one built in there. And I'm going to have Steven Shell and his company, Texas Custom Patios, do that. But you know what? You can do it from the outset. Have your patio built with everything you want. You want a fireplace? They do fireplaces. You want an island or a kitchen? They can do that for you as well. They can even do the little the fire pit there if you're looking to do that. I've got a fire pit as well. Make sure that Texas Custom Patios is the company that you call, because no one else is going to do the work that's as good, it's consistent, or gives you the value dollar for dollar for your home when you decide to sell it, if you decide to sell it, and it truly makes your house a home. TexasCustomPatios.com. Go to the website now or call today so that you can have your patio ready by the spring. It's TexasCustomPatios.com.
Thought he played, you know, played tough and managed the game really well. I mean, it was a tough game. I mean, hard game, very good defense. In Jacksonville, and I thought, you know, we tried to get the ball down, you know, stretch the field a little bit, didn't connect, had a chance to connect a few times, didn't connect. And so we got to go back to work on some things, but we won, which is important.
No, yeah, the most important thing is winning the game. He did have some checkdowns that he missed, that Deshaun missed, and then he scrambles around. He had Cullen Gillespie on one play where he just ran out of bounds, as opposed to he could have picked up 5-6 yards on a check down, but he didn't. Listen, you know, you want, there's got to be a fine line between being David Carr, captain check down, and, you know, making smart plays that'll pick up, you know, some yardage. And there is, you know, you read your progressions, and if guys are covered, hit your check down and let's go. Pick up whatever you can. Take what the defense will give you. And, you know, Deshaun's got he needs some work on that. As opposed to just holding on. Gardner missed you yesterday, held on to the ball. You're like, dude, Whitney had a great game, but one of them was a coverage sack. He just held the ball, then started to run like a David Carr straight for the sideline.
Now, I will give Romeo some credit. I said this during the game. Romeo was mixing up the pre-snap looks, and Minshew was, for a guy supposed to be really smart, he was a little confused.
Well, and, you know, if you brought the house, you don't bring the house every time against the rookie. A lot of times, eight in coverage really will crush a young quarterback because they don't have anybody to throw to. They mixed it up very nicely. But I will say this. Whitney's spin move was totally sweet. I mean, that's where Jadeveon was last year. Jadeveon never put that move. And by the way, he was quick with that spin move, and that tackle had absolutely no chance against him. That was a nice move. Let's go. Let's get some calls in here. Derek is next. What do you say, Derek?
Hey, guys. Love the show. I was a little concerned, and I have been actually since last year. I actually took some criticism on another show regarding J.J. Watt and, like, kind of his lack of productivity, or specifically in big games or in big moments, and just the lack of dominating force. Like, I think he had, like, 15 or 16 sacks last year, but over half of them occurred, like, in three games. Two of them were against the Titans with the subpar and backup offensive line in the first couple games of the season. And similarly, like, he has no guaranteed money this year, interestingly enough, on his contract. And so, I was wondering if the Texans, I mean, I know J.J. Watt's like a saint, and, you know, I'm probably going to take more criticism for saying this, but is this his last year as a Texan? Because, like, generally he doesn't really fit with kind of, like team building and how to build a team, although we don't have a first or second round draft pick, so I don't know really even know what team building looks like. Going forward, is he part of the future?
Yeah,
or
I do. I don't know.
Last year,
I don't know. Derek,
Nick Martin just got extended. Yes, Derek is part of the future. I mean,
yeah,
JJ's part of the future.
He gets doubled a lot. He gets doubled all the time. He's not making plays. He's not in the stat book, but he's taking them. Bill O'Brien will tell you, and they focused on him quite a bit during the telecast, that he is being doubled and even tripled. He's getting chipped all the time. Is he the same guy as he was when he's MVP of the league? No, he's not.
Nope.
He's not going to be. You're never going to see that again. But he's still a force that you got a scheme against.
He really is. He does, like, I thought he actually played way better last game than the first. Ramchick
had a good game against him. I thought he played way better in this game. Of course, he was going up against a rookie in Juwan Taylor. But J.J. still has something left in the tank, but he's not. You have to recalibrate your expectations. Now, at some point, the reality is he's going to be getting paid more than he is producing.
Yeah.
There is going to be...
Maybe happening right now.
And I also think that J.J. is a guy who has accomplished a lot. He's physically had some issues. I'm not sure that I see him playing this year, yes. The year after that, yes. The year after that, I don't know. We'll find out. We'll see how he holds up physically.
It'll be interesting to
see
what
his paycheck is.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to
see. The paycheck at some point matters.
Are they going to do a 6-year extension with him?
You're right about this, though. The Texans do not want to cut him.
No.
Yeah, they, with Derek's call, there's no dead cap money if they were in the next two seasons, so they could cut him and it wouldn't cost them anything against the cap. But he ain't going nowhere.
They're
going
to extend him.
Well, they're going to extend him and lower his cap
number.
No,
6 years. Or
his base next year is 15 and a half.
I could see them extending him, getting him a signing bonus to pay him up front, and trying to drop his number to 12.
Would a good organization?
What's wrong with that?
Mm-mm. Because they're not going to piss J.J. Watt off.
That doesn't piss him off.
They're going to give him more money.
No, the extension gives him more money.
No,
you're just lowering your cap number by giving him money in the future.
If he's got years left on his deal, they're never going to cut him. Yeah, zero dead money if they cut him after this year, but that's not happening.
No, and you just mentioned it. There is no team building anymore. That's over. For 2 years, you're done.
No. Kevin. Let's get Kevin in here next on ESPN. What do you say, Kevin?
Hey, what's up, John, Lance, Dale? Hey, man, first of all, I listen to you guys every day. I love your show.
Thanks, man.
I've called before we talked about the Rockets. But, Lance, I think I'm going to have to agree with John. I'm not saying that Deshaun is better than Patrick Mahomes, but given the same system, you know, with a quarterback guru such as Andy Reid, I think he can be quite effective. Bill Bryan's terrible. If John's right, you got to compare him to Jeff Fisher. Look what Jeff Fisher did to Steve McNair. Look what he did to Jeff Goff. Not only that, look at Rex Ryan, what he did to Mark Sanchez. You take any defensive coordinator, coach, they're not as good. Why you think Tampa Bay got rid of Lovie Smith? Because they thought Jameis was going to be good. They tried to bring in Dirk Cutter, but Dirk Cutter turned out to be terrible. Patrick Mahomes has a good quarterback coach, and he has a good system in place. That's why he's excelling. I'm going to hang up and listen. Yeah.
All right, two things.
Smartest call.
First of all, two things?
Smart
You're
call.
Talking about a lot of defensive coaches. Bill O'Brien is not a defensive coach.
Kinda.
Never has been.
Can we even tell?
Kind of is.
Number two, Jameis is just terrible. One of the reasons Jameis is playing terrible is because
Jameis
is terrible.
Because Jameis.
Number three, I think that anybody with Andy Reid who is going to go down, once he's out of the game for a few years, people are going to say, they're already starting to say it, Andy Reid is maybe the best offensive mind that's been in football. When you look at what he did with Donovan McNabb, he resurrected Alex Smith's career. He's taken Pat Mahomes to unbelievable heights. I think Pat Mahomes is great outside of Andy Reid. That's my personal belief. But I also think Andy Reid is clearly better than Bill O'Brien and really any other offensive mind. So, yes, if Deshaun Watson was over there, yeah, absolutely. My point was that I think Pat Mahomes would still thrive pretty much in any system. As long as you give him – I mean, you have to have decent stuff around, and Houston's got enough around him.
Would Bill O'Brien be a detriment to Pat Mahomes or positive? That's my question.
I don't think he'd be either.
I'm not going to call him Andy Reid.
That's a question.
I think Pat Mahomes would be Pat Mahomes. I don't think he would. See.
Would he get the best out of Pat Mahomes?
He ups him. I think Pat Mahomes would do what he does. I think that, anytime you have the best coach of all time offensively, they're going
to
get the best out of
him. Well, that's why I'm not going to compare him to Andy Reid, because Andy Reid's at a different level. Is Bill O'Brien a net positive for Deshaun, and would he be a net positive
Mahomes? So he's been a net positive for Brian Hoyer, who had the best year of his career, for Ryan Fitzpatrick, who had the best year of his career. Deshaun Watson has had good. I think it's overplay. I really do think Deshaun, you know, being a net negative on a quarterback, I think that's overblown after with recency bias of yesterday's game, which was terrible.
No, and
he was good against
all of last year.
They weren't terrible all of last year.
They
were hurt with Will Fuller out for sure.
Do you want to go through their games and see?
Well, then what do you think about the? But what about the Saints?
And that's another thing. We'll get.
Why do we just ignore the Saint game?
Well, the Saints. Listen, that was. Listen, here's when you want to play the Saints. Week one. Do you know they haven't? Did you know the last time they won a home opener?
Yeah, it was against Texas. It had been 8 years.
2009.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the last time they won a home opener.
Yeah, but we still have to give the Texans credit for whatever doing what reason. They did offensively.
No, they did. Oh, no, and they've had good offensive games, don't get me wrong. But for the most part, this is what we get.
You want to know the truth?
Did this game yesterday not remind you of all of last year?
Oh, yeah, it's the same. Well, it's the same team. They are who I think they are, which is going to be ups and downs, play to the level of their competition. This is nothing different than for the last 17 years. It doesn't matter who the head coach is. This is the organization. Hmm. Up for the up games, down for the down games. That's how they play. It's who they've been forever. But I'll just say this. I think Bill O'Brien is a net neutral, Dell. I think for a below-average quarterback, he can raise them to the level of average. And I think for an above-average quarterback, they are who they are, more than likely.
Well, that's disappointing.
Hmm.
For the
disappointing
guy.
For all of us.
Now, I could be wrong with a better offensive line, or if Deshaun starts getting rid of it or making different reads, I could be wrong. Maybe Bill O'Brien is a net positive for a quarterback because he has had success with quarterbacks who are lesser quarterbacks. Mahomes, to me, is a special dude, and I don't care where he goes. I think he's going
to
succeed.
The Texans hired Gary Kubiak to be the OC last February. Would they be better off offensively?
I believe yes. I believe Gary Kubiak's offense is better suited for Deshaun running off play action, even if you did it out of the pistol. Because you can run a lot of the same outside zone concepts out of pistol.
All right, Keith, you're next up.
Which
on
they
ESPN,
did, yes, which, by the way, they did. The Texans actually ran out of the pistol.
And the only reason I said that is because, I mean, we know he ain't great with the head coaching stuff, but he's not that great as an OC. Hire a dedicated OC and hand it over.
And how about have somebody that knows about play clock management?
That's become too hard.
I mean,
that's just too hard. That's just too hard.
That a guy who's a lifer in the game doesn't get it and is right in the middle of it, you don't get it. And it's time after time after time. It's so unbelievable that there's nobody in his headset saying, call a timeout. I can't believe it.
You know the deal. They get fired. You said it already.
844 ESPN 97.5. I want to talk about oops, we didn't call a timeout. Oops, we urinated on the carpet. Oops, we spilled coffee.
Stop.
Oops, we got Deshaun sacked.
Oh, no. Minshew, you almost peed on the carpet again.
Oh, Minshew, you almost peed. You almost pooped all over our carpet.
Jacksonville covered.
Oops. Very hot steam can take that out. If Jacksonville would have pooped all over the Texans' carpet, hey, they'd have called oops. Kills fungi and germs, gets rid of mold, spores, and bacteria. And here's the deal. This is going to be in your home or your business. You want to be able to trust the people that are going to come. Well, they're trained and background screened professionals. They're employees. They're not contractors. Other companies are using contractors, and then, well, we're not responsible for what they did. Oh, really? Really? Well, here's the deal. At Oops, they are. They clean everything. Stone, upholstery, drapes, air ducts, commercial. They use steam. They're going to be very transparent in all of their pricing. They're not going to try and come and upsell you. You're going to love your deal with Oops. Call 281-822-0561, 281-822-0561, or go to oopssteam.com. Tell them you heard it right here. All right, 847 ESPN 97.5, 703-780-3776.
Real quick, Evolution of Hip Hop, do you watch it at all, Dell, on Netflix?
No. You know me well. Sorry, I guess this
is discussion.
He
watches Texans football.
Yeah, you got to watch it.
And Astros baseball.
No, he watches all kinds of shows.
No.
You should be watching
this. Now over. I watch Preacher.
Preacher?
Get on Preacher.
I don't even know about that.
Preacher's good?
I like it. It's pretty.
What about the Will Ferrell one?
I don't care for Will Ferrell.
I just started Righteous Gemstones last night.
You did?
Yep. And then I finished that, and then I finished Evolution of Hip Hop already, season 3. It's really, really, really good.
By the way, I watched Dennis Rodman's 30 for 30.
Oh, how is that?
It's actually very interesting.
I figured it would be.
It's very.
Show me a 30 for 30 that's not interesting.
Well, and it's well done, and he's very complex. But he's going to be here at Sam's Boat. I'm emceeing an event with him tonight. If you want to meet Dennis Rodman, you can. All you got to do is come over to Sam's Boat on Richmond, and he's going to be there tonight at 7 o'clock. So if you're looking for, I don't know, if you've got a Dennis Rodman jersey or you want, I don't know if he's going to sign. I have no idea. Probably. He seems like he's I'll tell you this about him. He seems like he's a good guy. He's obviously has his issues and whatnot, but he does seem like he had a, you want to talk about a rough upbringing. He had himself a rough upbringing. And
Yeah.
He's a sensitive guy.
His mom just kind of gave him away, and she said she did that. She thinks she deserves credit.
Yeah.
For giving him a chance.
For kicking him to the curb. He was living in the street. He said he was living behind 7-Eleven.
He's like, yeah.
Not so much.
I'm not giving you credit for this. Right.
No, and he didn't. Let's get Keith in here. He wants to talk about Texans defense. What do you say, Keith?
Good morning, gentlemen. Didn't Dennis Rodman wear a dress one time?
Yeah, he wore a wedding dress, which made him, it actually took him to another level of stardom, if you want to know the truth. Why is that so funny to you?
Oh, man, that's just, you had to say Dennis Rodman. You know, I was wanting to talk about the Texans defense, and you had to go there. Anyway, to the Texans, you know, I remember posting a tweet during the Colts playoff game, and I said that the Texans defense always gets whacked in two-minute drills. It actually got a like from one Lance Zierlein. We've all seen this nonsense. Now, this is what I heard. I don't know if it means anything. But I had heard that Brian Cushing was the guy who made the calls during the two-minute drills. And when he left, Bernardrick McKinney took over that role, and he struggled getting the right call in and getting it on time. Does it mean anything at all to that?
So the linebacker, the designated player, usually a linebacker, an inside linebacker, has the headset, right? So he's got a direct line to the defensive coordinator, Romeo Crennel. I don't really see how calling a play, how it's going to break, unless you are in a hurry-up situation and a DC can't make a call, and you've got to have you're in a situation, when I say hurry-up, you're in a situation where there's not time for a defense coordinator to get a call in and you're staying base. But in that scenario, you're going to stay in the same defense for consecutive plays. So I don't know. That would go to a coach. I don't know that would be.
Is Bernardrick McKinney lining Jonathan Joseph up 10 yards off the ball? Because basically the problem right now.
That's a big
one. Well, you know, the thing was, guys, and they were saying that on the touchdown pass, and God, we all season, it just hasn't worked. Near the end, that the Texans rushed three, and they had eight in coverage, and the guy was wide open.
How could they not cover with so many in coverage? Well, I guess if you play way off, that's one of the things.
And you might, with eight guys on the 5-yard line, 15 yards of field, you might be running into each other.
I saw it with Philadelphia and Atlanta. They had six guys that it was fourth and like whatever it was, fourth and 13 or 16. And Carson Wentz goes over the top past them. Like, this has become a major issue with a lot of NFL teams who they can't cover on long situations anymore. They don't know how. Either that or the offenses are too good. I don't know. I didn't feel like the offenses were too good yesterday that I was watching. Well, it didn't feel like a bunch of really unstoppable offenses. It didn't feel like it.
Did to me. Brian is here. Brian's next. But Kevin's gone, right? Where are you? Where went to Kevin?
Yeah.
Brian, what's up?
How's it going?
Good.
Hey, man. I'm looking towards the future here. So I know Bill O'Brien's got complete control, obviously, of everything. But I'm wondering, I know Lincoln Riley's going to get his shot, and it looks like it might be after this year, especially if Jalen wins another Heisman. Like I said, O'Brien's got all control, but wouldn't it be a dream if we could pair up Lincoln Riley with Deshaun Watson?
Absolutely.
You know, my God.
Absolutely, but I think Lincoln has figured out that he can make, by the way, Bill O'Brien, there's a pretty good chance Lincoln Riley will be making at least as much or more than Bill O'Brien next year with Oklahoma. Bill O'Brien makes in the neighborhood of five. There are plenty of coaches to make more than that.
I'll tell you what, you've got more control. I mean, you saw
in college.
In college, you got a lot more control. Now you have to recruit, which is a pain in the ass.
But it's also an advantage.
Convincing 18-year-olds. Yeah, it's a huge advantage because you can go get who you want.
Yeah.
You can go get 25 guys every year as opposed to listening to who the general manager thinks that you should get and having them to coach those guys. Plus, you'd have the Jalen Ramsey who's coming off the field and coming after the head coach, which you don't have in college. Plus, you have all those guys making as much or more money than you are, and they're like, whatever. Yeah, no, listen, a college job, there's a lot of aspects of it that are a lot more attractive than the NFL job.
Yeah, 100%. Now that the money has changed, the idea and the concept, my dad had his most fun ever in college, not pros. He coached years and years in college, years and years in pros. He'll tell you college, you can do more. Now, that might change now because players are a little different and it's a little fussier, but you get to actually teach. There's less about... You know, it's less about meetings, egos. It's really more about teaching and technique. And he just found it more gratifying. And he always told me, he said, the most fun I had is college football. It's just you didn't make the same money. When he was coaching, he went to the NFL in 2001 with the Cleveland Browns, and it was a substantial jump up in pay for him. Well, things have changed since then. And really good college football coaches make a lot of money, and they get a lot of money for their staff. So there's not as many enticements to go to the pros unless you think, well, that's the highest level and I want to win at the highest level. But Nick Saban figured out one year, he was in Miami like, this sucks. I like having all the control.
Yeah,
well he did have the control and pick Dante Culpepper over Drew Brees.
Yeah, that's right. I forget that was him.
Plus, that's why he left.
He made that guy cry too. Remember?
He could see how bad it was going to go. I was like,
I think it was Manuel Wright.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
as a USC player, they're going to.
Yeah. So he went 7-9, I think, both years, and partly because he picked Dante Culpepper over Drew Brees. So I would leave too instead of having that hanging over
my
head.
You don't want to sit there the whole time I better get out of here.
I screwed up. I gave Dante Culpepper a scholarship. I shouldn't have done that.
Hey, Drew Brees.
I don't
Brees,
get any other scholarships, so I'm out.
We're not talking about Drew Brees, all right? We're not going to answer any more Dante Culpepper questions, but he's your starting quarterback. Hey, he's injured. We're going to talk about the players that are playing for the Miami Dolphins. We're not talking about that anymore. But he's literally the starter. He's not injured, Coach. He's in there right now.
And then
terrible.
He did get injured. No.
All right, 855 ESPN 97.5. Raheel joins us on the other side. Let's pick certain things, anything, moments from this weekend that we will each pick out. What sticks out to you next right here on ESPN 97.5?